Our scripture reading for this morning will come from Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. We'll be reading from chapter 3 of the book of Philippians, verses 17 through chapter 4, verse 1. It is found on page 1024 of your pew Bibles. So this time, let us listen to God's word for us. Brethren, join in imitating me, and mark those who so live as you have an example in us. For many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you, even with tears, live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is the belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our commonwealth is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power which enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brethren, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. This is the word of the Lord. Eternal God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, my rock and my redeemer. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I was in the seventh grade, I went out for the seventh grade basketball team. Not being a very accomplished basketball player, I thought it was prudent that I imitate one of my classmates, Rossi Burton, who was a much more accomplished basketball player than I was. And so during the tryouts, I imitated everything that Rossi did. I imitated his dribble. I imitated the way he shot his shot. I imitated his whole style. The problem was that Rossi made the basketball team and I did not. And I often reflected on what that meant. Had I just been my own self and not imitated anyone, I might have had a better chance of making the team. And so I have often reflected on originality and individuality. We live in a culture that often emphasizes originality and individuality, and even nonconformity in some instances. And there's a great deal to be said about all of that. But the fact of the matter is that we human beings are all imitators. It's a part of our nature. It's part of how we learn. For good or for bad, we imitate those who are around us. From the time we are children, we are constantly imitating those that we see. We learn to talk by imitating the speech patterns around us. We learn to walk by imitating our siblings. We learn our values and behaviors by imitating our parents and others who we admire and respect. By the time we get to high school, we learn what's cool and what's not cool by imitating the kids who are popular. When we start our jobs and our careers, we seek out role models whose examples help to further our careers. We human beings are imitators. We seek out role models, and we all know that it's important to have good role models. Even we as Christians often seek out role models. We seek role models, good role models for our children. We seek good role models for ourselves. We seek to imitate people who we admire and respect because it is important that we have good role models. It's important that we imitate those who we respect and admire. The Apostle Paul certainly understood how important it is to have good role models, especially for the young churches that Paul was in correspondence with. We're reminded that during Paul's day, they didn't have a New Testament as we have it today. They didn't have the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that narrate the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They didn't have any instruction manuals that would instruct them as to what it means to be a Christian. And so understandably, people had questions about what it means to live as a Christian. What does it mean to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? How should we live as a part of this new faith? What should we do and what should we not do? Different Christian communities had different answers for those kinds of questions. Some of them went back to the Old Testament, to the Hebrew Scriptures. They went back and they said, this is the way we ought to live. They went back to the Ten Commandments and to the ordinances and the laws and the legal codes. And they said, this is the way that we need to live. This is the way that it means to be a Christian. The church at Golgotha was kind of like that. That was their approach to the problem. They went back to the Old Testament, to the laws and the ordinances. Another Christian community said, no, Christ has set us free. We've been set free in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can pretty much do anything we want. What matters is the grace and forgiveness of God made available in the Lord Jesus Christ. That was kind of the way the church at Corinth answered the problem. Much of Paul's correspondence to his churches was an attempt to clarify for them what the Christian life looked like. And one of the things that Paul says again and again in his correspondence to his churches is, if you want to know what it means to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you want to know what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, then look at me. Imitate me. Watch the pattern of my life and imitate me. That's a bold statement, of course, for Paul to make. It even seems somewhat conceited, and I wonder how many of us would feel comfortable telling someone to imitate us. Imagine telling someone, if you want to know what it means to be a disciple of Christ, imitate me. Watch me. Pattern your life after me. Don't just imitate me on Sunday mornings, but imitate me throughout the rest of my life. Imitate my relationship with my spouse. Imitate my relationship with my family. Imitate the way I engage other people on the job. Imitate me. Watch the whole texture of my life, the whole pattern of my life, and imitate me. But that's exactly what the Apostle Paul tells his churches again and again. Watch me, imitate me as I imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul certainly had a lot to offer anyone who was looking for a role model. By Paul's own reckoning, he had advanced far more than anyone else's age. He was, according to the flesh, an Israelite, part of the people of God, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. As to the law, he was a Pharisee, a respected religious leader, familiar with the traditions of his people. As to righteousness, he was blameless. He was a good, decent, moral, outstanding person, never committed any major sins. Paul certainly didn't have the kind of introspective conscience that we often associate with people like Luther. He wasn't constantly wondering and worrying about his sins. Paul believed that he was a very decent person. He was blameless. And so Paul would have been a perfect role model for any aspiring young person to imitate. But then Paul met the Lord Jesus Christ. He met the Lord Jesus Christ, and Paul actually died to everything that he had been before. He died to what he had been in the flesh. He died to all of those identity markers that he thought and other people thought were important. Paul just didn't die to his old way of life, but he called it nothing. He called it rubbish. He called it dung, excrement. For Paul, the only thing that mattered was the Lord Jesus Christ. And the thing that Paul wanted people to imitate in his life was not that he was a respected Pharisee, was not that he was righteous and blameless, was not that he was a good, decent, moral person, was not that he was an Israelite and a member of the tribe of Benjamin. But what Paul wanted people to imitate in his life was the way that his life conformed to the life of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Imitate me. That's what Paul says. There was a wonderful little classic written in the 1950s entitled, What Would Jesus Do? In any ethical situation, the point was to ask, what would Jesus do? Well, Paul already knew what Jesus would do. He already knew what Jesus did. Jesus would die for us. Jesus did indeed die for us. And it's that kind of sacrifice and self-giving that characterized the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Paul says earlier in the book of Philippians that even though Jesus was equal with God, he didn't regard that as something to be exploited. Rather, Jesus humbled himself. He emptied himself. He poured himself out, became humble, became a human being, and died on the cross for you and me. Jesus did it not because he had to do it, but he did it as an act of obedience to God, as an expression of God's love for all of us. And Paul the apostle, Paul the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, in everything that he did, sought to pattern his life on the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, imitate me. Paul the proud Israelite, Paul the member of the tribe of Benjamin, didn't count that as something to be exploited, but he emptied himself. Paul, the respected Pharisee, the teacher of the law, didn't count that as something to be exploited, but instead he emptied himself. Paul, the moral example, the good, decent, righteous person, blameless before the law, didn't go around saying, watch me, imitate how righteous I am. Instead, he emptied himself. He poured himself out. He did all that he could in order to proclaim the good news of the gospel to all that he met. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ became a human being for our sakes, the Apostle Paul would say in the book of the Corinthians that he became all things to all people. To the Jew, he became a Jew. To the outsider, he became an outsider. To the weak, he became weak. To the poor, he became poor. Paul did whatever it took in order to present the good news of the gospel. For the sake of the gospel, he was beaten. He was betrayed. He was thrown into prison. He suffered every indignity and humiliation. And yet in the midst of all of that, Paul says, imitate me. If you want to know what this Christian life looks like, If you want to know what it looks like to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, imitate me, because I've imitated the Lord. Friends, I guess the question that I have for us this morning on this second Sunday in the season of Lent is, who are we imitating? We all imitate someone. We human beings are imitators. We copy each other. Who are we imitating? When people observe the pattern of our lives, when they observe our behaviors and attitudes, what do they see? Do they see the Lord Jesus Christ? Do they see self-giving love exemplified by the cross? Do they see humility? Do they see a willingness to sacrifice for the sake of others? Do they see self-giving love, or do they see something else? Who do we imitate? Who are we imitating? Paul warns against those who he calls the enemies of the cross. And I love Paul's rhetoric here, because Paul doesn't call them enemies of God. And he doesn't say that they are enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the people that Paul makes reference to are those who proclaim their belief in God, those who proclaim their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul knows that they're not living in accordance to the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ. Their lives do not in any way conform to the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul calls them enemies of the cross. They're enemies of the cross because they do not follow the way of Jesus. They do not follow the way of the cross. They see religion basically in terms of benefit and advantage. And so they ignore what it means to follow Jesus in order to imitate the surrounding culture around them. And again, my question is, who do we imitate? Who are we imitating in our own Christian walk? Who are we watching and emulating our lives after? Throughout the centuries, there have always been faithful men and women who, through their life and the example of the way that they have lived their lives, have said, imitate me. If you want to know what it means to be a disciple of Christ, if you're confused at all of what it means to be a Christian, imitate me, because my life is an imitation of the self-giving love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Being a Christian is not about expecting God to make us prosperous. Being a Christian is not about expecting God to make us happy in the way the world expects us to be happy. Being a Christian is not about expecting God to make us successful in the way that the world defines success. Being a Christian is about following the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about being faithful and obedient to the one who calls us even to die to ourselves and what we believe is important in our lives. Who are we imitating? Who do we follow? Who are we watching in our Christian life? Are we watching the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we imitating him? Are we imitating those who imitate him? Or are we imitating something else? In 1977, Janani Lawam was an Anglican bishop, a fairly respectable and privileged position, to say the least. But Uganda in 1977 was being ruled by a murderous and psychopathic dictator named Idi Amin. And therefore, to be a Christian of any type was to be in a very dangerous position. In 77, when Amin began a murderous rampage, killing those who he considered to be disloyal to him, it was people like Janani Lawam who stood up and protested the murder and the deaths that were taking place all around Uganda. And for that, he was arrested and taken before a stadium and interrogated and tortured. Those who were arrested with him were eventually let go, but because he was a bishop and because he represented the Lord Jesus Christ and because he faithfully refused to consent to the murderous rampage that was taking place around him, he was continuously tortured. And finally, he was murdered. His followers found his body with two gunshot wounds to the chest and to the head. And some of those followers had testified that it was Idi Amin himself who shot the archbishop and murdered him as the bishop continued to pray again and again, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." I'm not at all suggesting this morning that the goal of the Christian life is to go out and to seek out suffering or to go out and to place ourselves in danger. I'm simply saying that there is a big difference between a faith that imitates the surrounding values of a consumer society, where we are constantly expecting God to do something for us and to make us happy, and one that imitates the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the world. And so again, I would ask you, who do we imitate? Who are we copying in our own Christian life? Paul told his churches to imitate me. If you want to know what it means to be a Christian, imitate me. Follow me as I follow the Lord. And again, we continue that pattern today. We too, to the extent that we are faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ in his way, we too, as individuals and also as a faith community, say, imitate us. That is our message to a confused and darkened world. If you want to know what it means to be a human being, if you want to know what it means to live, if you want to know what it means to be a loving community, if you want to know what it means to have life and abundant life, imitate us. Copy us. Watch what we do. Because we are the community that follows the author of abundant life. Imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. Imitate one another. Imitate the way of the cross, because it is the way that brings life and life abundant. Let us pray. Eternal God, you have reminded us that we are called to be a different kind of people. We are called to follow along the way that brings life. We are called to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, the Savior of the world, the one that brings redemption. Help us to imitate him, to be faithful in following him. Help us to die to all of those things in our lives which prevent us from being the human beings that you have called us to be, the faithful, obedient human beings that you have called us to be. Help us to find our true identity in the one who faithfully went to the cross for our sakes, for the sake of the whole world. And it's in his name that we pray here today. Amen.